Blog Talk Radio.
And Rondo. Rondo will inbound. 11.7 seconds remaining in a 4-point game. NBA championship coming down to the final seconds. Jill Lamar with a planned inbound pass. He should recognize where the shooters are coming off. Rondo looking. Gets it to Pierce. Pierce turns back out. Rondo fakes.
This is the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Surreal Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes on this 16th of April. 2011, and that is how last season's playoffs ended, with the Los Angeles Lakers taking home their 17th championship, their second in a row. As we ready for an NBA playoff weekend, of course, games will begin today, kicking off with the Chicago Bulls hosting the Indiana Pacers. Chat line is open for those who want to get on, want to holler at me during the course of this show. Call number is 347-215-6180. You can also hit me up at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or at facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. Any questions, comments that you may have. And you remember, you know, do you remember a time where, well, first of all, I know this is an early start, 9 o'clock in the morning, so I appreciate any of my diehards who are listening right now. I can understand the rest of you still being asleep, but my diehards, I know you're listening right now, so just want to let you know how much I appreciate that. It's hard, trust me. I had to get up, you know, I had to get up about 8 o'clock, 7:30 after getting home last night about 1 o'clock in the morning, so it, you know. That's what we're, that is. This is what we do, though. Do you remember a time when, and this time has been long gone for me at the age of 32. The only thing I'm too young for is Social Security and AARP. But there was a time in your life where people would say, you know what, you're too young. You're too young to drink. You're too young to smoke. Too young to go to a club. You're too young to go out. You're too young to drive. But, no, you're too young. But, you're too young. Well, today, and over the course of these, you know, next couple of months, as we watch the NBA playoffs, there are a couple of teams that are very young, and they're led by superstars that are very young. And I'm talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Chicago Bulls. Between those two teams, you have Derrick Rose, age 22. Yeah, Russell Westbrook, 22, and Kevin Durant, 22. Three of the probably top dozen players in the league right now. Rose and Durant are top five. Okay. And there are a lot of people out there who think that these teams not only can make some noise, but possibly win an NBA championship. And I'm curious about, and what makes me curious about these two teams is it defies all logic. If either one of these teams not only wins the NBA championship, but even gets to the finals. Because over the history of the NBA, history has taught us in the NBA that it doesn't happen. You know, teams, you know, the Bulls of the 90s, the Pistons of the 90s, they had to go through steps of aggression. You know, they had to, you know, win a round, have their heart broken, you know, take their lumps, and then finally break through and win those elusive championships. But in a year where, you know, nobody out there is dominant, Lakers are still the best team, but nobody out there is dominant, who knows? Maybe the Bulls, led by Derrick Rose, the unquestioned MVP, maybe they can break through and not only get to the finals and possibly win a championship. Oklahoma City, which is as exciting of a team that there is in the NBA, the average age of Oklahoma City is 23. youngest starting five in the league. They get the Kendrick Perkins. Get Kendrick Perkins to add what a lot of people think is the missing piece to them, that final piece to help them get past the Lakers. Maybe it is their time. So those are the two teams that, as fans, you should definitely keep an eye on as the playoffs progress. Both of them will unquestionably make some long runs over the course of these 2011 playoffs. 5 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour, just getting started here on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. When we return, we will have Saturday morning headlines and also take a look at some baseball action. This is the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
7 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. Call number is 347-215-6180. As we head into a NBA playoff weekend, it couldn't have came soon enough. I mean, I've been tired of the NBA season, regular season, for about a month now. I've always thought and believed that the NBA season should be shorter to 60 games. That's just my opinion. But we're here now, ready for a playoff season that will take you, you know, basically into the summertime. probably until mid-June. So now the games matter, and now the fun starts as we head into today's playoffs. Of course, again, we'll kick off with Chicago, Indiana. You have Miami and Philadelphia. You have Dallas and Portland. And there's one other game that you'll have. There are four games that you have to kick off the NBA playoff round. And, of course, tomorrow, Spurs, Memphis, Lakers, Lakers, Hornets, and the Knicks and the Boston Celtics. Saturday morning headlines. The NBA will give a formal proposal to We'll give a formal proposal to the NBA Players Association very soon. David Stern had a meeting. David Stern had a press conference yesterday talking about basically the state of the labor agreement, the state of the NBA in terms of money that's being lost. The thing that jumped out to me, and he said that the NBA will be estimated to lose $300 million, and 22 teams will lose money this particular year. But looking at an article here by Chris Sheridan, who believes that there's not going to be a lockout for some reason. I think there is going to be a lockout, but you know, Chris Sheridan doesn't believe it. But you know, going back to the 2008-2009 season, yes, the NBA has lost money, but it's starting to decrease. I mean, 2008-2009, NBA lost $370 million. 2009-2010, the NBA lost $340 million. And now, David Stern is giving you just basically a rough, you know, estimate of about $300 million. So it sounds like it's decreasing in terms of it losing money. And I'm not saying that the system doesn't need to be changed. There clearly needs to be something done about the system, about some of these bad contracts, which is the owner's fault. Okay, I mean, the players don't sign their own checks. But that kind of jumped out to me that the NBA, was still losing money, but it was starting to decrease in the last couple of years. Red Sox first baseman Adrian Gonzalez has signed a 7-year, $154 million contract. This deal was in place long before he signed it. As soon as the Red Sox made the trade for him, the deal basically was in place. Now it becomes official, and something positive in what has been a season to forget so far for the Bo Sox. We'll get to them more as the show progresses. So I have a lot to say about what's going on down in B-Town. Phil Hughes has been placed on the 15-day DL by a New York Yankees starting pitcher. He has what is being termed a dead arm. The velocity of his fastball has dropped dramatically. I mean, going from about 93, 94 to roughly his average fastball is with 89. And if you are a pitcher, it depends on your fastball. You're trying to get by 89 on an 89 mile an hour fastball, it's not going to work out. I mean, it's all it is. That's batting practice for most of these hitters. So right now he's struggling. And if you're a Yankees fan, you have to be concerned because really you take him out of the mix. He had been great in the past couple of seasons. Last season he was great during the regular season. You take him out of the mix, you really only have one guy that you completely trust. I know Bernanke pitched well, I understand that. But he has started 3-0, he could be, 3-5 in the next few weeks or so. He's that inconsistent. So you have one guy who you completely trust right now, and that of course is CC Sabathia. The rest, that starting pitching staff is kind of shaky right now. And that was the last thing the New York Yankees needed to hear was that Phil Hughes is going on a DL, but better now than in September or August and September. So for Yankees' sake, hopefully he can be back soon. So those are your Saturday morning headlines on this 16th of April, 2011. When we return, we'll talk about the struggles of the Red Sox and also $184 million down the drain. We'll talk about that as well on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. After the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, 347-215-6180 is your call number. Also, the chat line is up. So, any questions or comments you wanna toss my way, feel free. Baseball, of course, some late Friday night action. The Cardinals all over the Dodgers, 11-2. Pujols is starting to get loose. Couple of home runs last night. Detroit over Oakland, 8-4. The Angels over the White Sox, 4-3. Yeah, Florida edging, getting by Philadelphia, 4-3. Texas continues its dominance over the Yankees, 5-3. Baltimore, Cleveland doubles up Baltimore, 8-4. The Mets and Atlanta Braves were rained out. They will play a doubleheader today. Seems like the Mets have made a habit of playing doubleheaders lately. And, of course, you had Boston falling 7-6 to Toronto. Red Sox now are a baseball worst 2-10 on the season. And it's gotten past the point where it's early. Okay, it's early if you are 5-5, if you're 4-6, you know, if you're 6-5, 5-4, if you're 2-10, it's not early anymore. It's not, especially in that in a division with New York Yankees. It's not early. And the Red Sox, you know, everybody talks about who's not hitting, whether it's Crawford or Gonzalez, who's been okay. Whether it's, you know, whoever you want to toss out there, Euclid, Pajora's actually hit Euclid. Veritek, whoever you want to toss out there. The bottom line is, when you look at, you know, coming into last night, the Red Sox had a team ERA of 6.77. Now, when you compare that to the other big winners in the postseason sweepstakes, the Philadelphia Phillies, who went out there and got Cliff Lee, their team ERA coming into last night was 3.40. That's all you need to know. I mean, Red Sox went out there and spent $300 million worth of contracts, $274 million for two hitters, basically, in Gonzalez and Carl Crawford. But it still comes down to the pitching. And the Red Sox right now cannot pitch. They have, you know, they have one guy you can trust in that starting pitching staff. And that's probably John Lester, who, despite his record, has pitched much better than his record. Beckett had a big game against the Yankees last week. But other than that, I mean, Dice K has been awful. Buckholz has been awful. Lackey's been awful. And Dice K right now, you would have to seriously consider taking him out of the rotation. I think the Dice K experiment has run its course, especially if you're a Boston Red Sox fan and you're their management. And again, you wonder about the Red Sox in handling these expectations, these Yankee-type expectations going into the season. See, the Yankees, and I hate the Yankees, but the Yankees do handle expectations as well as a team under that kind of scrutiny can handle them year in and year out. I mean, every year Yankees go out there, spend a lot of money, make a lot of moves, do this, do that, and expect to win a championship. And every year they either win a championship or come close. You know, last year, a couple of years ago, they make all the big moves, win a championship, you know, break in their new stadium. Last year they lost to a very good, hot Texas team and made it to the ALCS. You will never see the Yankees go underachieve. Underachieving for the Yankees is basically like losing in the first round. So they're used to it. This year the Red Sox came in with, you know, being basically the new Yankees. You know, they were the offseason champions. They come in again, $300 million worth of contracts. And so far, this has been the payout. And again, I wonder, I mean, they're going to hit. Let's make no mistake about it. They are going to hit. They'll have a stretch where A.J. Gonzalez, Crawford, all those guys are hot, and they'll score a bunch of runs, but that will not cure the age of the starting pitching staff. And also that bullpen. Could be one of those years for the Red Sox. Again, you can't completely write them off, but listen, two teams that started out 2-10 don't. History says they don't win championships and that they badly struggle to make the playoffs. Doesn't happen often. Another team that's having some issues right now, as they are, I believe, 4-9, is the Minnesota Twins. The Twins, though, have bigger issues than even their record, and that is the health of one Joe Mauer. Joe Mauer was just given a 100 an $84 million contract. That's what happens. That's what happens. Even my computer is like, yo, it's too early. It's too early. I'm not used to this 9 o'clock stuff. That is what happens when I wake my computer up 2.5 hours early to do a show. We are back on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call as we had some technical issues. Thanks for staying with me. If you did stay with me, if you didn't, who could blame you at this point? But we are back on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, 26 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour. And I was, before I was rudely interrupted by technology here, Joe Mauer, who signed a deal last offseason, or right before last season, for $184 million. And you wonder now, he's had now since 2004, he's had just about every kind of injury that you could possibly have. And if I'm the Minnesota Twins, I'm saying, hey, Joe, listen, we understand that you, as a catcher, for what you do, is as good as it gets in terms of baseball for a catcher to hit the way you hit. But you are not going to make it as a catcher physically. I mean, you got to be up front with them. So we need to move you to another position, not this year, but in the offseason, next year, you got to move to first base. Because you're not going to sit up and waste $184 million and watch you just break down year after year. It's not going to happen. And if I'm the Minnesota Brass, it's exactly what I'm saying to Joe Mauer right now. You got to be up front with him. There's no way. It's not going to, because he's going to continue to break down. I mean, catching is the most physically demanding position in baseball. And again, that guy, he is your franchise. And you start, and you are wondering whether or not they can, you know, you're wondering whether or not they can keep Mauer and Morneau on the field at the same time. I mean, that's becoming almost a bigger issue for the Twins as beating the Yankees, is keeping those two guys healthy. So, certainly keep your eyes on that situation as it progresses throughout the year. Of course, Mauer was put on the DL disabled list with a weakness in the leg due to a viral infection that he has that's causing some weakness in his leg. So he will not be back until he rebuilds the strength in his leg. Who knows how long that will be. 28 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. When we return, we will have react quotes and also have our preview of the NBA. Who will be playing? Who will be the final two teams playing in June? I'll let you know coming up on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number.
Them that got shall have, them that not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it's still in news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that got his own.
Don't 30 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday morning wake-up call. As I discuss the world of sports, a NBA playoff weekend as the second season of the NBA will begin roughly in about 3.5 hours or so. The Bulls and Pacers will kick off the NBA playoff season. Bulls are certainly heavy favorites in that particular series, so we will see what happens as the playoffs will begin. Here we go with this latest edition of React Quotes. "What I said last night should not be taken literally." That is, of course, Laker guard Kobe Bryant, who made a insensitive, homophobic comment, to say the least, to official Benny Adams during the Lakers' win this past Tuesday over the San Antonio Spurs. Bryant had gotten a technical foul, went to the bench, threw a towel, got a technical foul for throwing a towel. Then he proceeded again to call Benny Adams outside his name and was fined by the league $100,000. What he said was picked up on camera. And Bryant, though, excuse me, ever since, has been contrite, said all the right things, said he will work with the different various groups like GLAAD and put a message out there, says he wants to kill the word. And again, said everything that he needed to say. Will not protest the fine. He's not making a big deal about the fine, though. The NBA Players Association is appealing it. That's, the natural course of the process. That's what they do when they have excessive fines like that. So that, that's not a big deal. He says he's not. He says he publicly came out and said that he's not going to make a big deal about the fine, $100,000, that he kind of understood where David Stern was coming from. Listen, I've heard, I've been on many a basketball courts in terms of, street ball. The stuff that gets said on a basketball court in pro, on any, whether street ball, college, maybe not so much college, but, on street ball in the NBA or on the NFL field, is not uncommon. I mean, it really is not. And if you don't want it to be heard, then don't have live mics in these players' faces, basically, or these boom mics that can pick up any particular sound or word over the course of the game. Because you might hear that word, you might, amongst other words. So, that's what I would say about it. Again, Bryant came out and said everything that he needed to say about this situation, didn't back away from it, didn't make any excuses for it, excuses about it. "It's a rivalry. I didn't know we had a rivalry going. It's a rivalry. I didn't know we had a rivalry going." That is, of course, Celtic forward Paul Pierce talking about this mythical rivalry between Boston and New York that only exists in the mind, maybe through the Red Sox and the Yankees. There's no rivalry with Boston and the Knicks. They haven't met in the playoffs in 21 years. You got to go back to when the Celtics were basically done, and when the Knicks were just coming into their own with the with a relatively young Patrick Ewing, and the Knicks won that series in five games, one game five in Boston Garden. But it's the Knicks just excited to be back in the playoffs. New York papers, the media, the whole nine, they're just excited to have the Knicks back in the mix to be somewhat relevant again. So I'm with Paul Pierce. I don't see where the rivalry comes in. They haven't met him in the playoffs in years. The Knicks have been bad basically the last decade. But who knows? Maybe this could be the start of a rivalry when they meet up starting on Sunday evening. 34 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, when we return, we will begin our previewing of the NBA playoffs with the Eastern Conference. We'll talk about that and then go west on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call.
I know my parents loved me. Send me high
Saturday morning wake up call on this 16th of April 2011. Cyril Quinn taking you to the 10 o'clock hour as we look ahead towards this weekend's kickoff start of the NBA playoffs. And it is a different world for some of these teams. The regular season as compared to the postseason in the NBA, it's just nothing like the postseason. You know, the NBA is the ultimate postseason sport. What you do in the regular season means something, but as we've seen in the past with teams like the Dallas Mavericks, you know, postseason, regular season can be two different worlds. We're going to begin with the Eastern Conference, and I'm just not even going to bother with these first round series in the East, because they, to me, are just almost a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. We'll skip directly to the second round series, Chicago, Orlando, Boston, Miami. Let's begin with Chicago and Orlando. Listen, Dwight Howard, anytime you have Dwight Howard, you have a shot. I don't like this Orlando team. I like this Orlando team less than I've liked any Orlando team in the last 3 years since they made the finals back in 2009 and lost to the Lakers. This team is soft outside Dwight Howard. Their shooters are inconsistent. Stan Van Gundy, I wonder if he's wearing thin on that whole locker room. They need to be completely revamped and just change their style of play. Chicago will have a series under their belt, and they have enough quality big men to not stop Dwight Howard, but to kind of, you know, frustrate him a little bit. I mean, he'll still put up decent numbers, but Orlando just does not have enough to deal with Chicago, especially, you know, Derrick Rose to Jamir Nelson matchup is not a matchup at all. And I think Chicago wins this series in, I would say, five games. I can see Orlando getting one game. Maybe it goes six. But if it does go six, it's a 3-1. It'll be an easy six-game series. I mean, you know, it'll never be 2-2. Boston, Miami, the series that everybody's been waiting for. I understand that Boston has struggled. I understand that they, you know, look old. The Perkins trade obviously has taken some of the sting. The bark, you know, has given them more bark than bite. But Boston, like the Lakers, still has the ability to turn it on come playoff time. Doc Rivers had an interview a couple of days ago, and again, he sounded very confident about Boston and about the chances. Miami, we're still not sold on them as a half court, as a team that can play half court basketball, and I'm still not sold on that bench. I like Boston. In six games, I think Boston, you know, I think this will be 2-2 after five. I think Boston will still gain five and then come back and wrap it up in six games. Again, it's going against conventional wisdom, but you know what? Boston has proven to me that they have another gear in the postseason as in comparison to the regular season. I think Boston gets by Miami in a tough series, 4-2. Chicago and Boston, I'm going really back and forth on this particular matchup. Unlike last year, I don't like how Rondo is playing right now. Okay? And Rondo, to me, struggles. Even when Rondo's playing great, he struggles against Derrick Rose. I think Chicago catches a break and faces a Boston team that would have been beaten up physically and mentally because of the Miami series. And I'm taking. I think the Celtics will fight, claw, scrape, and get themselves to a game seven. But in the end, the Chicago Bulls will be in the NBA Finals, representing the Eastern Conference. To me, the difference will be, again, Derrick Rose, the MVP, will just absolutely dominate that series. They have guys like Luau Deng, Taj Gibson that can kind of match up with Paul Pierce. They obviously have the big men that can deal with Boston's inside game or lack thereof. So Thibodeau knows Boston upside down, inside out, as far as defensively. So I like the Bulls to advance to their first NBA Finals since the Michael Jordan era back in 1998. So there you go. I'll take the Boston Celtics coming out of the Eastern Conference. Who will they face? We'll find out on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Saturday morning, which will call 43 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour. The Lakers have been the top guns of the NBA's Western Conference for the last 3 years. They are trying to win their fourth straight Western Conference championship, third straight NBA championship. Last time a team won four straight conference championships, you got to go back to the Larry Bird era back in the 80s from 84 to 87. Excuse me, from 83 to 86, the Boston Celtics represented the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals and ended up winning two of those championships. Ended up winning two of those championships in 84 and, of course, 86. And 86 teams, of course, one of the all-time great NBA teams, of all time. The West is going to be very interesting. We're going to begin, of course, at the top, San Antonio, Memphis. Now, Manu Ginobili is out game one. And, again, this certainly could have made the cut as for a Are You Kidding Me? With Greg Popovich playing his starters in that last game of the season against Phoenix, trying to get the best record when he didn't play them against the Lakers in the game before. It made absolutely zero sense. Ginobili gets hurt. He's out game one, and Memphis has a great opportunity to steal that game one from San Antonio. I just don't trust Memphis. You know, they had, again, no Rudy Gay. And besides that, mentally, I just don't trust Memphis to have the kind of – just to have the kind of pedigree. They don't have the kind of winning pedigree, or I don't know if they're ready to take advantage of a San Antonio team that right now is vulnerable with Ginobili hurt, a little bit older. I like San Antonio in a tough six-game series. I would not be shocked if it went seven, but I would be shocked if Memphis were to come out and win this series. So I'll take San Antonio to advance. Oklahoma City, Denver should be a very exciting series, up and down action. I think Oklahoma City is clearly the better team, having definitely the best two players on the floor. I'll take that over the Denver depth, which I don't know how that's going to translate to the playoff, to playoff basketball going too deep at every position. And also they have, you know, I'm not sure about Felton and his status. I think Denver gets two games. I think Denver gets two games, so Oklahoma City will advance to play in the second round. I like them in six games over the Denver Nuggets. Lakers, New Orleans, this is probably the biggest mismatch of the first round in the Western Conference. New Orleans, you know, could beat the Lakers in the regular season with David West. You take him out of the mix, they have no sides. This was, again, the best possible matchup that the Lakers could have gotten in the first round. Remember, Lakers are a Kobe Bryant three-point shot away from having to face the Portland Trail Blazers and being the number three seed. So that was a big game for the Lakers to win in the season finale against Sacramento, against the Sacramento Kings. I can see Portland, New Orleans getting one game, but that's it. Lakers win this game series in five. And, of course, Dallas and Portland. Everybody's on the Portland bandwagon to beat Dallas, and I hate that. I hate it because when everybody goes in one direction, you know what? I'm going the other direction. I like Dallas in a tough, close, grinded-out series, seven-game series without question. You're not shocked, certainly, if Portland does win the series. But, again, I just don't like picking. I don't like going with the crowd, going with what everybody thinks is going to who everybody thinks is going to win. And everybody in the world is picking Dallas to lose this series. I think home court will be the difference, and Dallas wins a seventh game, seventh game at home. Second round, San Antonio. You have San Antonio and Oklahoma City, and you have L.A., Dallas. San Antonio, Oklahoma City, I think San Antonio will face its comeuppance against this young, fiery Oklahoma team that is hungry, that is talented, and now has a nasty edge to him in Kendrick Perkins. I think San Antonio will be worn down by what Memphis does to him, and I like Oklahoma City against San Antonio in six games, and I like Oklahoma City to advance to the Western Conference Finals. Who will they face? Well, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers will take out Dallas in six games. This series against Dallas just doesn't have enough to be down low to deal with the Lakers. Tyson Chandler cannot deal with Bynum inside. Dirk Nowitzki is going to have to carry that team. Dallas, again, Jason Kidd will not take advantage of one of the Lakers' weaknesses, and that's dealing with point guards. You know, Kidd and Derek Fisher basically at this point in their careers move at the same speed, so that will not be an advantage. And I like the Lakers to advance to face the Oklahoma City Thunder. And when we return, I'll tell you who will be facing the Chicago Bulls in the NBA Finals. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 9 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, as we look ahead to this year's NBA playoffs, Chicago. We already had the Chicago Bulls in the finals, and who they will be taking on, you know, Oklahoma City or the Lakers. This series will be Oklahoma City Lakers series will be a classic series. I could see it being similar to the Lakers Portland 2000, Lakers, Sacramento, 2002. Oklahoma City is almost there. But in the end, the experience, the intangibles, and home court advantage will be just enough for the Los Angeles Lakers to advance to their fourth straight NBA Finals and go after their third straight title. Oklahoma City matches up with the Lakers as well as any team because they have, you know, the ultimate weapon at point guard. As far as Russell Westbrook, they have scoring off the bench with Harden, Maynard. They have some toughness now with Kendrick Perkins. You can put Ibaka at the four. Cephalosius can at least annoy Kobe Bryant. And they just have all the right pieces. They have all the right pieces, but what they don't have is championship experience. And championship experience in the playoffs is just something that cannot be measured, by numbers or stats. It is what it is. It's something that you develop over the course of making it to the finals or winning championships. And again, that will be enough for the Los Angeles Lakers to get past the Oklahoma City Thunder in a classic 6-7-game series. I would lean to a 7, but it could be 6 as well. So the Lakers will play the Bulls in the finals, where I think, the Lakers' experience will be the difference against the Chicago Bulls. Also, the Bulls have absolutely nobody that can guard Kobe Bryant. I mean, you're talking, that also will play a major factor at the two-guard position. Lakers in 6. I can see the Lakers splitting in Chicago, taking 2 out of 3 in L.A., and then wrapping it up in Game 6 back at United Center. So, I think the Lakers will be three-time NBA champions. I think that they, pound for pound, are still the best team. They still have least room for error than any other team in the league. When you talk about Kobe Bryant, you talk about Phil Jackson, the size up front, an improved bench, and they still have another gear. Lakers, I mean, listen, the Lakers defy logic. They turn it on, they turn it off, they play when they want to. And that, you know, is it disrespectful for them to get to the game of basketball in some respects? Yes. But it is what they do. And again, I think that this year, I'll feel more confident this year about them going to the playoffs than I did last year with Bryant seemingly healthy and with Andrew Bynum coming in better shape than he was this time last year, playing on one leg, in comparison to last year when he was playing on one leg. Coming up, we will wrap up the program with React with Are You Kidding Me? With Are You Kidding Me? And also have some final thoughts. Here we go with our latest edition of
Are You Kidding Me?
Yanks general manager Brian Cashman has come out and criticized Joe Torre for his overuse of the bullpen, in particular Scott Proctor. Okay. Now, yes, Joe Torre is no longer unless you've been just out of the country or on another planet, Joe Torre is no longer the manager of the New York Yankees. He was basically fired, about 3 years ago after the 2007 season, and Joe Girardi took over for him everywhere since Joe Girardi has won a championship. And I'm saying that because, again, why are you coming after Joe Torre? I mean, who, first of all, who is Scott Proctor, to be Scott Proctor is an average reliever at best. He's average. He's pretty good. He's decent. It's not, you know, let's not mistake Scott Proctor for Goose Gossage here. And I just don't understand why. I just don't understand you're coming at Joe Torre. This is a guy who won four championships. Four. Count them. Four championships. Did he overuse Mariano Rivera, who's still pitching? Did he overuse, Jeff Nelson, Ramiro Mendoza, who got big outs during those championship years as relief pitchers? Did he overuse John Wetland, who was the World Series MVP in 96? I mean, you're basing this on Scott Proctor. And this is when you signed Pedro Feliciano, who was overused by the Mets. So this is Cashman just looking crazy right now. Yeah, you're absolutely making no sense right now with your whole logic. Now he wants to come out and say, well, I don't have to worry about that with Joe Girardi. He doesn't do this type of thing. What did Joe Torre do to the Yankees but win championships? Or do to Brian Cashman but basically put money in his pocket by making him look good with some of the players that he was getting them? I don't understand that one. Tennessee wide receiver Kenny Britt was pulled over, arrested for eluding an officer. He was driving his Porsche 71 miles per hour in a 50-mile-an-hour zone. Where are you going exactly? Okay, where are you going in terms of eluding an officer? Either two things are going to happen. You're going to run out of gas, or two, going to be cut off by the police. Again, these NFL players, I will do a show on this. They need oasis. They need something to, you know, kind of bide their time until this lockout is over, because it's getting out of hand right now. It is. It's already out of hand. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Of course, catch the archives on Blog Talk Radio. com/TheRealQuinn. You can also, again, I'll post the archive will be posted on Facebook.com/TheRealQuinn. You can also catch me. You're going to be hearing a lot from me this week. I have a couple shows lined up with the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll have a show lined up with that. We'll have a show lined up coming up soon, coming up also on Thursday, that will not be Saturday Morning Wake Up Call or Cyril Quinn Review. It's a special treat. I'll keep you posted on that. And, of course, next week we will return, hopefully, at our regularly scheduled time of either 11 or 11:30. I don't like the early starts either, but it is what it is. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the playoffs. Also, enjoy the NHL playoffs. As well as, you know, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh are tied at 1-1. Capitals and Vancouver look like they're in total control of their series. So enjoy that. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. I will see you next time on the next edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. did have two live listens.
If you're a small business trying to make sense of how email and social media marketing can grow your bottom line, Constant Contact can help you figure it out. Free.